headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please have a seat. So much of the liturgy and tradition of our church, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican tradition, is handed down over the centuries. So much of it is just ancient and rich in history, that I was really surprised to learn recently that this day we're celebrating today, the Feast of Christ the King, is pretty new. It's not ancient. It was actually instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. It was first called the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. That was its official title. It was just past the end of World War II, and it was a horrifyingly recent memory. And Pius looked out on a world that was wounded and weary, in which many people had lost faith, a world that was fractured by nationalism, all those national boundaries. And today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday in a world that is very much like that same world, wounded and weary, equally so or maybe more so. And nationalism is the spirit of the age. It's America first here and around the globe. It's every nation for himself. Carol and I spent the first 13 years of our marriage in St. Louis, and like most big cities, it was kind of a microcosm of the world, with people of a lot of different nationalities, a lot of different races, economic classes, and there were a lot of well-defined borders right in the city. German neighborhood, and the Italian neighborhood, there was the Greek neighborhood, which is where we lived, and we were kind of unusual there. There were neighborhoods that were very poor, and even among the poor neighborhoods, they were separated along racial boundaries. There were white poor neighborhoods and black poor neighborhoods. Always with human beings, there's that tendency to huddle together with people that are like you, and to defend yourself against, and your family, and your traditions, to defend yourself from the outside world, everything outside those boundaries. And that's the way the kingdoms of this world function. From the littlest kingdoms, like the kingdom of our home and family, to the biggest and most powerful kingdoms, like the United States or Russia, human beings stick together, they protect their own interests. But when we call Jesus our King, I don't think we always realize what we've gotten ourselves into. We're citizens of his kingdom, but do we realize always what kind of a kingdom this is that we belong to? "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus told Pilate. And what's so otherworldly about this kingdom? Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over." It's not that kind of a kingdom. Because you know, if the kingdom of Jesus Christ were just a regular worldly kingdom, we would take care of our own. We'd be out there every day defending ourselves and our fellow Christians from the assaults of a hostile world. We'd be sticking together with our brothers and sisters who think like we do, who share our values, and who care about the things that we care about. And if the kingdom of heaven was the kingdom of this world, we'd be using the world weapons, maybe not swords, but modern weapons like the legal system, political leverage, money, or military strength maybe, to defend our values and our lives and our property. And that's what we would do if the church were a kingdom of this world. And the really terrible thing is, a lot of the time, that's exactly what we do as Christians. I'm not necessarily talking about us here in this room, but about the church as a whole, especially, I think, the American church. We spend way too much of our time crouching in a defensive posture. We get defensive when schools have holiday concerts instead of Christmas concerts, because our holiday is under attack. The church pours money and energy into lobbying Washington about issues like school prayer and gay marriage, because we feel like we, the church, have to defend what we think are the Christian values of our country. And most recently, the church in America has supported laws trying to keep Muslims and other nationalities out of our country because we're scared. It seems to me that Christians in this day and age spend an awful lot of time playing defense against the kingdoms of this world. But when Jesus was standing there on trial in front of his accusers, he didn't need Peter, he didn't need anybody else to storm the gates of Pilate's headquarters and rescue him from the clutches of the Jewish leaders. He is God. He is all-powerful, he is all-knowing. Jesus told us he had the authority to lay down his life. He had the authority to take it up again. He was never, at any point, a helpless victim. He was a willing victim. He chose to pour out his life on the cross out of love for this world, the whole world, not his part of the world. Jesus Christ the King came so the kingdom of heaven could break in and rescue everyone from all the dying kingdoms of this world. When Jesus was summoned to stand before Pilate, when his hands and feet were nailed to the cross, when he breathed his very last breath, those weren't moments of failure. Those were his moments of triumph over the powers and the principalities of this world that hold creation and all its feeble kingdoms captive in all their little boundaries, century after century, millennium after millennium, while the inhabitants and the whole creation wait for the coming of the true king. There was a man named William Temple, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury during the Second World War, who said this: "The church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members." That's a pretty alien concept in our world. Every other kingdom of the world looks out for their own interests. But according to Archbishop Temple, the unique job of us, this church, on earth is to be a servant, to show mercy, to look out for the interests of everybody else. That's the way that our King showed us, because that was his way. And so now, who we are is we're his ambassadors of reconciliation. That's from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He wrote, "Through God, through Christ, God reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." We are card-carrying ambassadors for Christ. God, through Christ, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us that message of reconciliation. Instead of the world's weapons of defense, money, or political influence, or plain old brute strength, as citizens of his kingdom, we wield the instruments of his kingdom, which is love, forgiveness, grace, compassion and mercy, kindness. Those are the powerful weapons of our kingdom. Those are his instruments of healing and restoration. and as citizens of his kingdom, we're wasting our time and we're wasting his time when we play defense against the kingdoms of this world. We're wasting our authority that he's given us, and we're wasting his authority when we reduce the Church of Jesus Christ to a political party, whether that's liberal or conservative. And worst of all, we fail our king when we fail to show his love and his mercy to the people for whom he gave his life. Whether they're our friends or our enemies, whether they're our next door neighbor or immigrants. We haven't been called to rally to the defense of the cross. We've been called to proclaim the victory of the cross in love to people of every color and every family and every nation, the victory of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the earth. To him who loves us all and who freed us all from our sins by his blood and made us to be one kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I wanted to close by praying the collect again with you. And fortunately, our wonderful Karen always puts it in the bulletin, so you have a copy without having to look it up on the book of common prayer. This is the special collect, and a collect is just a communal prayer. Special collect, Christ the King Sunday. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.